Today, I'm here with Casey from DLR Prep School, and we're going to talk about D23 announcements in the parks. That's coming up on this episode 102 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com, and I'm here with Casey from DLRPrepSchool.com.
Hello.
We are in Anaheim, California, because we have been at D23 Expo, which is like Disney nerd mecca, and it takes place every 2 years in Anaheim, and there's lots of stuff going on. That's putting it mildly. But we were primarily interested in hearing all the parks announcements, and so we are going to talk about that with you today. Before I jump in, just a quick reminder to always connect outside of social media, outside of the podcast on social media, and just pick your favorite platform. And I'm WDW Prep School there. Casey is on a few different platforms as well. Which ones are you on?
Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram. That's about it. Yeah. DLR Prep School everywhere.
Yeah.
And Periscope, yes. DLR Prep School on Periscope as well.
Yeah, so we have been making good use of social media while we've been here because we wanted to keep everybody updated, including Periscope, so you guys have been able to follow along with us and watch the sessions. So we're going to talk about that today, and as always, I will have news and a quick tip of the day at the end as well. But first, let's talk sort of about D23 in general, because this is our first time and neither one of us knew what to expect. We had heard, I think, that it was going to be big and overwhelming, all this kind of stuff. And I think that that has been true.
Absolutely.
But it's also been very exciting. So first of all, so the event lasts from, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so Friday, we showed up and were had big plans to attend the Legends Award event. We didn't really know what to expect. We just knew that like 8 people were slated to receive Disney Legend Awards. And there's a main stage at D23, which has most of the big events, usually one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And when we showed up, there were just thousands of people lined up out front.
It was a mess. No one really knew where to go or what to do. And we found the right line.
We happened to find the right line. Unfortunately, most of the people did not.
Yes.
So we, and including our friends who had been here for hours.
Yes.
So anyway, we found the right line and managed to get into this Legends Award event. And we expected the biggest person there, the most famous, to be George Lucas, because he was getting a Disney Legends Award. So he was the 8th person that they gave an award. Yes. And then they said,
surprise, we have an extra one. I think they phrased it as D23 Expo people love surprises, so here you go.
And it was Johnny Depp. So Johnny Depp was the surprise 9th Legend Award winner, and that was a really fun way for us to start D23, but unfortunately there were a lot of empty seats because there wasn't proper communication to get everybody into that session. But for us, it was a great way to start. That was a nice kickoff, and then we managed to like do some things on the show floor, and then we finished the day with an Imagineering session.
A panel discussion.
It was a panel. So there was a moderator with several people on the stage, Imagineers, and the title was Disneyland Imagineering, but they did kind of venture into Disney World a little bit because so many of the Imagineers will work on multiple projects. But anyway, it was just really fascinating, and they started with the Imagineers who had worked with Walt, and so including Richard Sherman,
yes,
who I think
is totally delightful.
I think he's been one of my favorite things of all of D23. He's walking around, he's on panels, he just like oozes the magic. I don't know.
There's a great energy with him. He's just a lot of fun, and he's quirky, and he's really quick with his humor.
He is, and he's, you know, not a young man, but he's so energetic, and he's still very quick, and his stories are a delight. But anyway, on the panel, they brought on newer Imagineers to talk about newer projects and how they've been sort of mentored by the original Imagineers, and it was just a delightful session. Gives me an all-new appreciation for their work.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so that was sort of the first day. And then we went to Disneyland and had a lot of fun there because you can't come here and not walk the few blocks down the street to go to Disneyland. But then Saturday was the main event for us. Parks discussion was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. It was scheduled for 3 o'clock. And so we knew like that was our goal for the day. If nothing else happened, we had to do that. But the line began around 10?
10:30.
Yeah. 10:30. So at 10:30 in the morning, we were lined up outside for the session. They kept us outside for about an hour and a half. And then we got to move in and wait inside for a few hours.
In a holding cell.
In a holding cell. Anyway, so I've never waited more than 20 minutes for a ride at Disney World. But
that's commitment. That's how much we wanted to know.
We wanted to know. So it took us about 5 hours. But so we're going to talk about some of the things that were revealed in the park session. But before we even got in, as we were, you know, doing other things at D23, there were two things that sort of came out. One of them was that Magic Kingdom is getting a Jungle Cruise themed restaurant, which I think you're jealous about.
I am so envious because the Jungle Cruise is one of my favorite attractions. And I just think it's just Disneyland quirk, charm, everything. So I'm envious.
That's coming in late 2015 to Magic Kingdom in Adventureland, and the waiters are going to be skippers, and I hope they come full of puns and jokes.
Oh, I bet they will.
So that's something to look forward to very soon at Magic Kingdom. And then the other thing that was announced as we were waiting to go to this session was Star Wars lands are coming to both parks. And you could hear the entire room because this room, you know, people like us that were lined up 5 hours ahead of time, a lot of us were from websites and things like that. And everyone just was like, heaved a big sigh. Like, are you kidding me? This is what we're waiting for.
Right. We've been in line all morning. Why are you telling that group? We're working for it. And then it was almost like a game of telephone because one person would tell one person and then one person. And then it just kind of spread throughout the crowd. And then it was very exciting because we were all on technology looking it up and wanting details. And then we got to look forward to hearing more about it.
Yeah, so that was our thing, was we knew the general announcement had already been made, but we were going to get more details in our session. So let's dive into what some of those details are, because they do vary. So both Disneyland and Disney World are getting a Star Wars lands. Now, here it's at the Disneyland Park.
Yes.
And not sure exactly, like, the details of where, but...
Still don't know where. I hate to even speculate because everyone's saying Toontown is leaving, but they are doing so much in Tomorrowland. I still don't know how they would fit it into Tomorrowland, but with more stuff that we'll talk about in a moment, so much is coming to Tomorrowland. So I can't figure out where it's going. I can't wait to hear though.
And in Disney World, it's coming to Hollywood Studios. So that'll be the two locations for the Star Wars lands. Now, both locations are getting updates to Star Tours.
Yes.
And to Jedi training, which is going to include a new villain. And Star Tours is going to include scenes from the new movie. So it'll be more current that way. But then also both parks are getting a seasonal event called Season of the Force. And that'll be a new thing for Disneyland. But for me, it is very similar to Star Wars Weekends in that it's only for a short time and it's focused on Star Wars. So I'm not quite sure how the two are going to work together. But the way that the Season of the Force works in the parks is slightly different. So Casey, talk a little bit, like, what is going to be happening at Disneyland for Season of the Force?
Well, Season of the Force will include several things, and it's saying that it's going to be in early 2016, which is exciting and quite a quick turnaround. So I'm not entirely sure when that's going to take place or how long the season is going to last. But the biggest excitement for Disneyland is that Space Mountain is getting an overlay for Star Wars, and it's called Hyperspace Mountain. So I don't know when that is actually going to come about, but we're excited to see. Of course, the Jedi training will be coming as well, and then eventually the Star Tours. But it looks like Disneyland is going to have that same feeling that you guys have always had in your Star Wars weekends. We're going to have a season. So that's very exciting for us because we've never had it before.
Yeah, and we in Florida, we're not getting the Space Mountain overlay because that wouldn't make sense. It's in Magic Kingdom, but we are getting new fireworks, and so that'll be there. And I should say that Star Wars Land is a long-term project that is going to be launched, you know, years into the future. And this season of the Force is a sort of near-term thing that's going to be in the parks until, you know, while we wait for that to develop. So we don't know the details of all the new attractions for Star Wars Land quite yet, but there will be new attractions for that. But this is just what's happening soon, which is exciting because a lot of times when they make announcements, it sounds fun, but then you have to wait for 4 or 5 years for anything to happen. So at least we get something new in the very near future.
I think they're trying to appease us until they can get the land together, but this is going to be a fun intro into it. I can't recall if you said that Star Wars Land is getting two attractions and the Cantina, which is going to be a ton of fun, which I think a lot of people are looking forward to because it's going to be a very interactive experience. So each park, meaning Disney World, Disneyland, will be getting two attractions within the Star Wars Land, and it's going to be 14 acres in each park. So when you think of Disneyland, where is that going to take over? So that's going to be the mystery with us, and I'm excited to hear where it's going. But 14 acres is pretty impressive. That's a big chunk of Disneyland.
So the question that Casey and I keep getting is when, what are the dates? We don't know. I mean, if we know the dates, we're going to tell you, but Star Wars Land will obviously take years to create. And for Hollywood Studios, I don't know what it means for closures and, you know, what attractions that are currently in the parks have to close for this to happen. I don't know yet, but I assume that we will hear very soon. So one of the next announcements that was made in the park session was something that the Imagineer for the project spoke about and compared it to Cars Land, and it is another Hollywood Studios expansion. And just FYI, Cars Land is my favorite land in a United States Disney park. It is the most immersive, the most fun, and the fact that she would start off by saying that speaks, that's a lot to live up to.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That is a lot to live up to. I'm not even a huge Cars fan of that, you know, the movie series, but you cannot walk into Cars Land and not be just completely overwhelmed. It is amazing. So I am so excited to see what they're going to do with Disney World.
So the land that was announced is called Toy Story Land, and I think we all knew that it was going to be Pixar-related, but we just found out that it's officially going to be called Toy Story Land, which is really fun. So it's going to be at Hollywood Studios, and it's going to be in the area where Toy Story Mania currently exists. And the new additions include a Little Green Aliens Flying Saucer attraction, and then they're also going to add a family coaster. And when you're on the coaster, it's going to look like you're in the Slinky Dog from the Toy Story movies.
And it looks adorable. Yes. It looks like so much fun.
And the immersion, part of the immersion is that everything's supposed to be large scale. Like everything's just like larger than life and immersive, and they're really going to go with the theming on this, I think.
Well, it sounded like we're going to become one of the toys from Toy Story. And I have a feeling it's going to be similar to Bugs Land. You know, you walk through Bugs Land and you have the huge 4 or 3 leaf clovers and you feel like you're the size of a bug. So the feeling I got from their announcement was that we are going to be like the toys in the movie walking through the land.
The other thing that they threw in with this announcement was Toy Story Midway Mania expansion, which we have known about for a while, but that's to accommodate the, you know, large crowds that are undoubtedly going to show up for Toy Story Land. So I know that that's underway already. Just as a side note, Toy Story Mania hasn't had FastPass Plus open after October 14th for a while, and they just opened up recently. And so there was some speculation about whether or not that ride was going to be closed. But as of right now, it appears to be open through the end of October. So next up, we got an update on Epcot. And that is two things we already knew about, but they just sort of talked about again. One was the Frozen Ever After update, which is the new attraction that's coming to the Norway Pavilion. And they showed some artwork for that. And they also showed the animatronics that they're working on. And they were amazing. I love current animatronics from Disney. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just so impressive. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that. And that will open next year in 2016. And then the new Soarin' attraction, which opens in 2016. They showed some of the footage that is going to be from that I think
the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, Great Wall of China. Just it's footage from all over the world,
and it's called Soarin' Over the Horizon.
Yes, and then it has footage from the whole world, and so. Two things coming to Epcot in 2016. Can't wait to see those.
And Disneyland will be getting Soarin' Over the Horizon as well. I'm not sure how it is at Disney World. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but when Soarin' was built, the technology was a commitment to Soarin' Over California. And then it went down and had a refurbishment. And to put in the simplest terms, because I'm not a techie person at all, the way the cast member explained it to me was that it's essentially a USB that they can pop in and out once they create a new Soarin'. So it's not, I think that we're going to see more expansions from this, maybe, you know, Soarin' Over wherever, but Soarin' Over the Horizon is just the beginning of what the new technology capabilities are, because it's not a huge commitment to one theme anymore. It's something that can come and go. So I would love to see a Christmas Soarin'. I would love to see, you know what I mean? There's so many possibilities there if the technology allows them to create and come and go with new themes.
And the Soarin' in California at California Adventure is digitized, and it is so beautiful. That's the current Soarin' Over in California one. In Florida, it's not. And just, I'm so excited for that to come to Florida because it's so pretty.
Yes.
The digitized ones don't, you know, get worn out over time. And so I can't wait just for that. Anyway, so that's Epcot. Then we move on to Animal Kingdom, which is, of course, getting a Avatar-themed land, but they also talked about some other things. First of all, Kilimanjaro Safari is expanding to make it bigger and include two new animal species, which is very exciting. They also talked about the Rivers of Light, which is the night show that's coming next year, and it was just beautiful, and I love World of Color at California Adventure, and it's sort of been compared to that in terms of just having like water and lights and the whole integration. And I should mention that Joe Rohde was the person presenting this. He's Animal Kingdom. He's Mr. Animal Kingdom. And he was the one that was giving these updates. And then, of course, we had to talk about the Avatar theme land, which, of course, had to include James Cameron. So James Cameron came on stage. He humbly reminded us that he flew in on a helicopter, because that's relatable. But the new Avatar theme land is going to be called Pandora World of Avatar. And so that's the official name, not Avatar Land. And we sort of knew a lot of the stuff that was mentioned. Flight of Passage is described as a gliding ride, which is kind of Soarin'-ish, but Joe is always quick to say, but even better. Mm-hmm. And then the other things like a water-based ride and things like that. And every time I've heard Joe talk about this land, he wants to emphasize that it's fully immersive. He is really, really into the details of this. And they've worked really hard to make it great. And it's not, it's retelling of Avatar. It's sort of just, you know, in that theme, it's its own thing. And so I cannot wait to see it. And that'll be in 2017. So that was very exciting. We also, that's sort of the end, I think, of the domestic parks, but they went on to talk about the other parks around the world. And I think I want to book a plane to Tokyo and Shanghai and Paris.
We've got a lot of travel ahead.
We do. It's so amazing. There's a pavilion here that we haven't actually been in yet, but hopefully can today after this is recorded. But it's about Shanghai's, the whole Shanghai park. And the cast members, the Imagineers who've worked on the project are actually here on the show floor. And so if you want to ask them questions or whatever, you can see that. And that's very exciting. So that opens, I think, early 2016, something like that. So that's very, very soon, but it looks amazing. And that was part of our presentation as well. So today, we're recording this on Sunday morning. So today we have, I think, two main goals. One is to walk the show floor, which, by the way, World of Disney, the store overwhelms me. So the show floor is like enough to make me want to curl up in a ball. It's so big.
And I love it. I think it's awesome. Oh. It's very crowded though, and there's a line for really kind of every booth. You know, when you go to a trade show of sorts, you kind of just walk up, see something, and keep going. It's not like that here. You have to get in line and commit to each thing you want to see, which is slightly frustrating. So we're not going to be able to do everything we want, but we'll walk the floor and get a general feel for everything.
Yeah, we'll try. I've been trying every day, but today. Okay. But the other thing that's important is that there's a Frozen session that's on the main stage. Yes. And I'm a big fan of Frozen. So I was planning on going anyway, but, then last night we were having dinner in downtown Disney and, we kept thinking the guy next to us seemed familiar. He looked familiar. And when he opened his mouth, it was clear that it was who we thought it was. And it was
Josh Gad. It was so funny once we realized it. And then we had to snap a couple of photos without disturbing him, of course. But you posted those, correct? Did you?
No, you did.
Okay. I posted them on Facebook.com, DLR Prep School, and they are hilarious. It's Shannon looking at the camera, fangirling over Josh Gad, and it was hard not to. And we walked up and we saw this table with all these cast members, senior cast members, plaids, as we call them. And we didn't think to look around the table, so we're not the smartest diners.
I just thought the plaids like to hang out together.
In uniform. No, I don't think that's really what they do. So they were still on duty. And next time I see a table full of plaids, I will be looking around that table a little bit more carefully.
Yeah. So not only was it exciting to, you know, sort of see Josh that close, especially Book of Mormon's my favorite musical, and he was the original star on Broadway, but obviously he's Olaf. But that was obvious that he was here for day 23, most likely. So the Frozen session today is going to most likely include him, and Kristen Bell tweeted that Anna is definitely making an appearance. So today, if we can get in, we are going to see Josh Gad and Kristen Bell in the Frozen session.
And then I'll most likely be taking over WDW Prep School because Shannon's actually going to pass out right there. Yes. In the middle of the floor.
We both love Kristen Bell.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and I love Frozen too. I'm not as passionate about it as Shannon is, but I'm excited to see because I think T23 loves surprises, and this is the last day, and this is late in the day, so there might be something really fun ahead.
Yes. Well, they would be a surprise if we hadn't seen him at the restaurant and seen Kristen Bell's tweet.
Right, right. Well, and there may be more. That's what I mean. Yeah. There could be more coming. I think that if Josh Gad were a surprise, he wouldn't have been dining at Naples in downtown Disney. It's the first restaurant you see on your right as you're walking through downtown Disney when you leave Disneyland. It's the first one on the right, and I can't imagine he would be out in public so blatantly if he was the surprise.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking more is coming.
Oh, we'll see. That would be enough for me. They're fantastic.
Well, and hold it together.
I did check Idina Menzel's schedule this morning, though, and it does appear she's in Chicago. So she's probably not the surprise. Unless she has a private jet. That would be amazing.
But James Cameron could fly her in.
Oh, on his helicopter. Yes. Sure. From all the way from Chicago. Okay. So I think that'll wrap up that D23 discussion. I'm sure I'll have more to say later after we get through today. But just a couple of quick news items. First of all, there's a new app called Shop Disney Parks, and that allows you to buy things in the app that is in the parks. Almost everything will be in the app that is totally separate from the Disney store. So if you want things that you saw during your trip and you forgot to pick up or something, then go download Shop Disney Parks. It's available for both Android and iOS. Secondly, there are no Fantasmics scheduled at Hollywood Studios after January. I don't know what that means. I'm just telling you it is very unusual. And so if you're planning, don't be surprised not to see those. Right now, park hours are out through March. So people going in February and March do not have Fantasmic scheduled. However, Fantasmic dinner packages did just open up for January. So if you want that, go and snag it before everyone else does. Thirdly, the resorts, more resorts now have bus monitors so that you can see when the next bus is coming. This has been something. This was actually on my checklist on a recent trip. Go check out the bus monitors at Grand Floridian, which I know is not a normal thing to do when you're at Disney World, but it is something that I did. And I think Port Orleans Riverside has had them for a while too, but they have just expanded the list of resorts, and it includes Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Kidani Stop, All-Star Sports, Contemporary, the Boardwalk, I think that's it for now. If you have seen it recently and want to add to the list, feel free to chime in. But one caution, if you're staying at a resort that has multiple bus stops, which is like the moderate resorts primarily and a couple of the DVC, those bus monitors are less accurate because if the bus fills up before it gets to you, then it will have to pass your bus stop by. So you may think it's coming and then be surprised when it doesn't, but it's because they get filled up before they get to you. And I think that's going to be it for news today. I do have a quick tip of the day, which ties into Casey. So Casey and I have been here for a few days together doing Disneyland D23, and we've created a verb called Casey it. Hey, go Casey that.
And so proud of that.
Yes. And what that means is go ask and ask and ask again. And this, I'm not great at this sometimes, and she's good at it. And all that means is to just keep asking for clarification on things until you get the answer that makes the most sense. Something that she's an expert at. But we've had a couple of things where this has come in handy.
Absolutely. We wouldn't have seen Legends had we not asked. We had asked when we got our tickets at Will Call the day before, Legends is our priority for the next day. When should we get in line? And we were told, for Legends. And we were told one time, and it turned out had we shown up at that time, we would have never seen what we wanted to see. So we got clarification. We felt like, well, that doesn't sound right. I'm going to ask someone else. So we did ask someone else, got better information, and it turned out that it worked.
But it also came in handy when we later went to Disneyland because there was a roped off section for seating at the parade, the Paint the Night parade, and nobody was sitting there. And so Casey just asked, can we have the VIP seating? And the worst they can say is no, but they said yes. So we got VIP seating in the front row for this. And I mean, you can't go into it with a sense of entitlement, but it doesn't hurt to ask for it if you're interested. And another thing was when we ate at the restaurant where we saw Josh Gad, there was a huge line to get in and we had a reservation, but most people were just waiting in that line, even if they had a reservation, I think. And so, you know, Casey just went right to the front of the line and said, can we get in? And by the way, can we add two more people? And that was fine. We got a great table and we're seated right away. So just don't believe the line necessarily.
Absolutely. And whenever you do approach a cast member dining, anywhere you are, be kind and be I don't think you have to be overly ridiculous about it, but just be respectful and don't feel entitled to anything, but always ask. All they can say is no, and then politely go back to where you were if you do get a no. But I believe in getting as much information as I can, and that's just my personality is to go and ask. So I might be Casey in it a few more times today.
Yeah, feel free to use that verb. Go Casey it.
Yeah. Maybe I can Casey it to get us to see Josh Gad or Kristen Bell, and then Shannon will really fall down.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm actually going to do this at Disney World the next time I'm there, is just ask people, can I sit there? Can I do that? Because I don't do it as much as you do, but sometimes it pays off. So before we wrap up today, I do want to talk about today's featured company, which is BitBelt. And I'm going to also include a couple Magic Band tips in this. So BitBelt is a company that makes bands that keep your Magic Bands or any fitness band on, because sometimes you spend a lot of money, especially on fitness bands, and you don't. If they pop off, if the strap pops off, then you can lose it, and that's a big loss. But the bands keep it clasped. It's a very simple concept. I actually sought out the bands because I lost my Magic Band during a trip, and you can get them replaced for free if you lose them, but it's a hassle to have to stop what you're doing, stop your touring, you know, stop your, you know, if you're going to a restaurant, you might have to, you know, handle this beforehand. And so I don't like that. Plus, a lot of people do get Magic Bands that are special edition, you know, around a certain theme or season or character or whatever. And losing those, you know, it does add up. And so I like to have Bit Belts on my Magic Bands just to make sure they don't fall off. And so Bit Belt, the company, has been fantastic to work with me because they provided discounts to you. So I bought them full price when I originally did, but they said, hey, you know, if you want your to provide a discount to your readers, here is a discount. So BitBelt is my recommendation. Now, Magic Bands come to you as one size, but your children may have tiny wrists and the inside of the Magic Bands peel out to accommodate a smaller wrist. A lot of people don't even know that that's possible because the outside of the Magic Band is gray, the inside is a color. The colorful part can be peeled out. BitBelts have different sizes. One is the regular size, one is junior. And the junior size is good if you peel it out. The regular size bit belt fits the regular size Magic Band. Your Magic Bands will likely arrive about 30 days before your trip. So once you get them and you see what size everyone's going to wear, then I would recommend ordering bit belts for everybody at that point that fit the appropriate size. So anyway, BitBelt's a great company, and in the show notes and in the sidebar of the site, go ahead and snag the discount code because that'll save you some money on your order. So anything else before we wrap it up?
I think that's it. I'm just excited to get there and see more.
Yes. And we are off to D23 yet again, if we don't collapse.
We're going on about 4 hours of sleep a night at this point. So
yeah, 4 hours of sleep after walking 17 hours of walking. Yeah. But I think that will wrap up this D23 episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can check the podcast app on your phone, or you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode102. That is the numbers 102. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.